Amen. Well, it is definitely good to see everybody. It's also, I'm glad to see that nobody went blind after the eclipse this week. Did any of you guys watch the eclipse? Oh, man. I tell you what, I probably felt like a six-year-old kid watching it. Man, I was so excited at each phase. You know, at each phase, I know they probably thought, what's wrong with this lunatic? I just kept, oh, man, look at it now, look at it now. It'd be like 2 seconds later, wow, look what just happened, look what just, you know. So, you know, it's easy to get excited about stuff that you don't see every day. And so, you know, this was one of those occasions where, you know, hey, I don't know if I'll be around to see the next eclipse. I pray that I am. But if not, hey, at least I got a chance to witness this one, right? Right. So, guys, as you know, we've been in a series that's talking about change. And we've been talking about how change starts with us. And so I wanted to keep going with this series and just how do we keep it going? Right? You know, change is good. Depends on how you look at it, right? So let me ask this. Has any of you guys ever been to a class reunion? Anybody's ever gone to a class reunion, right? Right. So some of you guys are like, class, I haven't even graduated yet. But so when you go to a class reunion, what are some reasons you want to go to a class reunion? What'd you say? Hold on, I can't hear you. To see what people look like, right? Why else do we go to class reunions? Grub. To show them how handsome Grub has become. Well, Grub, you probably hadn't changed. I mean, I'm sure you were that handsome in school, too, so. Just a little, oh, okay, okay. Why else do we go to class reunions? I'm sorry? Rekindle friendships, right. And I tell you, I'm sorry, Bert, you had your hand up? Okay. I know when I went to my 10-year high school reunion, and it was for all of those reasons. I wanted to rekindle friendships. Some people I was hoping that they wouldn't be there. I wanted to see how people had changed. But you know what else? I wanted to kind of show them how I had changed, right? Spiritually and physically. Because all through high school, I never got over 125 pounds, right? So I literally looked like this right here with the head and arms. So I never, ever changed. So after I got married, you know, I started putting on weight. Well, when we, when we go to high school reunions, a lot of times we go in with this mentality. I got to change before I get there. So for the 2 months prior, sometimes 3 months prior, we just kill that gym. You know, we do whatever we have to do so that we can look a certain way or we can appear a certain way. And 2 to 3 days before, you know, man, we got to go get haircuts. We got to get our hair done, our nails done. And I'm just talking about me. You know, I'm not even talking about my wife. So we got to do all these things, right? Because we want people to see the change, right? And so when we get to the prom, this is what they see. When we walk in, this is what they see. After all that work, we walk in and it's like, whoa, look at you, or wow, look at this person. And so we want to present it. We want to present an image to people that we've changed, but we also want to present our best image. But now here's the question, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight. How do we go from this to this and keep it? How do we change and keep it? Right? So my first point tonight, the first thing we have to do in order to sustain that change that we make, we have to be taught. Right? There are some things that has to be taught. The same way the first lady you saw, she's in there working out. There's some things that she had to be taught. If she wanted to do some things to physically change her form, right? But we're going to talk about some spiritual things that we need to look at tonight. And so if you turn over to Titus 2, in verse 11, we're going to read 11 through 14. In Titus 2, 11 through 14, it says, "For God has revealed his grace for the salvation of all people. That grace instructs us to give up ungodly living and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this world as we wait for the blessed day we hope for, when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will appear. He gave himself for us to rescue us from all wickedness and to make us a pure people who belong to him alone and are eager to do good." You know, God, it says here that it's God's grace that some of your Bibles may say instruct, some of your Bibles may say teach us. And I think as Christians, it's so important that we are taught from God's word how to live godly lives. Because it's easy to see stuff on TV and think, wow, that must be godly. Or to be at work and see people doing morally good things and think, wow, that's how I should be living. But the Bible is clear. It says in verse 12 that grace, it teaches us how to say no to ungodly living. Now, I don't know about you, but my mom and my grandparents, they tried to raise me right. Right? And I'm sure yours did as well. But it didn't stop me from ungodly living. I still continued to live ungodly, even though they did their best day after day. They took me to church. They talked to me when I messed up. But what was going on that I still wanted to have this godly living, right? And there was times I'd stop, but then I'd go right back to the ungodly living again because God's word had not taught me how to say no to that. So the only way I knew how to say no was based on what I'd heard or what somebody had told me. And so I didn't have my own convictions. And sometimes it can be easy to fall into that trap. But it goes on. It says in verse 14, "He gave himself for us to rescue us from all wickedness and to make us a pure people." And it's talking about Jesus here. It says he gave himself for us to save us. And I think about that word save. It's a word to me that means I need somebody else's help. I can't do this on my own. God had to send Jesus to do that for me because there was going to be no way I was going to be able to do that, right? And so now that he's done it, I have to be taught what happened here. How did he do that, right? Because we all see the crosses. We see the pictures of, you know, you see Jesus on the cross with like one little stream of blood coming down. But the Bible is talking about being taught what really happened on the cross. It is so impactful. It changes your life when we see what happened on the cross. That's what motivates us to do what we do. That's what motivates us to change and to continue to change. Because if we aren't taught how to change or why we should change, we'll go right back to what's comfortable or what's easy. And usually what's comfortable and what's easy, 9 times out of 10, isn't godly. Right? And God is saying, That's not what I'm talking about here. But then I think this passage even goes a step further. I even think about being taught, you know, this year. You guys remember our theme for this year? John 15, remain in the vine. And that's so important, guys, because without us remaining in the vine, we're all ready to live ungodly lives. But I think God goes a step further than that. He says, hey, look, you know what? I want you guys to be taught about Jesus, about God. But I want you guys to be taught about each other as well. You know, we've been talking a lot this year about one another relationships, right? Now, when we think about one another relationships, when we think about that in the perspective of being taught about God, we can take one or two approaches. We can take the approach of, who are you to teach me? You know, I have my own Bible. Or we can take the approach of, you know what? Maybe God put this person in my life to help teach me more about him. Right? And if we take that approach, that's what's going to help us sustain this change. Right? Because we all want to change and be more like Jesus. I don't know anybody in this crowd that doesn't. We all want to be more like Jesus. But sometimes, or maybe it's just me, sometimes I just feel like, not today. You ever have those days where it's like, you know what? I hope my righteousness have, you know, I got enough righteousness in my bank that it'll carry me over today. Because I'm going to need to use some of it today because I need to take a day off. And we treat our relationship with God like that sometimes. And we say, you know what? I'll pick it up tomorrow. And this is where those one another relationships are so important. Because now you have someone else who's spurring you on, right? You have someone else who's encouraging you on to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Even though there's some days, God forbid, we don't want to be like Jesus Christ. Right? There's some days you get up and I just don't feel like reading my Bible today. Maybe I'll read it later tonight. There's some days I don't feel like sharing my faith today. There's some days I just don't even feel like being loving or giving. Oh, is that my phone ring? Oh, that's a... I'll call them back or I'll see them at church tomorrow or Sunday. And we do this, right? But is that being godly? And this is why the Bible says, man, the more and the more we get into God's word, the more and more we are with each other, spurring each other on, it will help us to live this godly life that God so desires. Because without that, it's hard to do this on my own, right? I'm always encouraged when I hear about brothers and sisters' quiet times or what they're reading and how they're growing and what they're getting out of their relationship with God. Not from an envious standpoint, but from an encouraging standpoint, because it spurs me on to want the same thing. Or it spurs me on to call me higher to say, wow, God is like that? Wow, God spent that much time with you? Man, and he wants to do the same with me? I can't wait. You know, so as we're changing, as we're becoming more and more like Jesus, we have to get taught. And from God's word and from each other, right? And sometimes they both can be challenging. But there's something else that we have to get, right? And so as disciples, we have to get convinced. Now, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I'm kind of like the first lady in the picture. You have to really convince me that getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, not eating the food that I like to eat, wear my body out, I'm tired when I go to bed. You have to really convince me that that's a good thing. Now, you don't have to convince me much to say, hey, Tony, you know, McDonald's is giving away free double cheeseburgers. Cool, I'm with you. You don't have to convince me much to go watch a basketball game. I'm there. But there are some things we need to be convinced of, right? And in order for us to change, right? Because we all believe Jesus is Lord. We've all even said that. We all believe Jesus can do miracles. We believe that. But are we convinced of that? If you get a chance, turn your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians 3. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. I don't know why I put Corinthians up there. 2 Timothy 3, 14, 15. It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. You know who your teachers were, and you remember that ever since you were a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through the faith of Christ Jesus. Sorry about the passage verse. But in 2 Timothy, Paul is very clear here. As he's talking to Timothy, he says, continue in what you've learned. And so what happens is a lot of times we'll learn something, especially us older Christians, we'll learn something from back in the day, and that's where it stops. And as younger Christians, it's easy to have our Bible apps and learn something, and it stops right there. But here, Paul has to remind Timothy, and I think he has to remind us as well. He says, but you know what? Are you convinced about this, what you learned? Are you convinced that Jesus walked on water? Are you convinced that when Jesus says, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, that certain things are going to happen? And see, a lot of times for us, I know for me, being convinced is challenging because it takes a lot to convince me. You know, I shared with you guys about, I pledged in a fraternity in college, and it was wild because they'd always tell you, oh, yeah, well, we're going to cross you at this date. And crossing just meant you were finished, right? So they tell us we're going to cross at one date, and it didn't happen. Then they tell you, oh, you guys will cross another date, and it don't happen. And so now I'm convinced these guys are just liars. So nothing else they can say to me that's going to convince me that I'm going to cross when they say. And you know what happens? I take that same mentality, and I can bring it into the kingdom of God. How do I do that, right? A brother or sister can say, hey, Tony, let's get together. And then they forget. Oh, here we go again. I'm convinced they ain't going to do it. Or somebody can hurt my feelings. And I'm convinced, yeah, they don't love me. They talk a good game. Here we go. You know, and it's so easy to go down that road. But there's something else here that Paul makes clear. I'm sorry, he's telling Timothy here that makes a lot of sense. He says, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Continue in it in what you have learned. All of us have had the opportunity to study God's word and study the Bible and become a Christian. He said, continue in that. Because what happens is when we take time off from reading our Bible and praying, guess what else we're taking time off from? From being convinced about what we've learned. And so now we start questioning this Bible, this same Bible that talks about one another, how profitable it is. The same Bible that talks about Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. We question it instead of being convinced that it's true. And so we start doing things in correlation with our questioning the Bible. We stop showing up for church because you know what? We don't believe that, hey, this is one body in many parts. We stop giving in our tithe because we aren't convinced that God is going to take this money and use it the way he wants to. We start making decisions based off our feelings, opposed to based off of what did God's scripture say. We start doing things based off that. Our relationships in the world. The Bible is clear. It talks about being unequally yoked. But because we have stopped allowing God's word to be the standard, we create our own. And so we are no longer convinced that, man, this is what God desires for my life. And so that change that we're trying to make, it's like you take three steps forward, you blink your eye, and you're five steps back, and you open them, and how did I get back here? It was easy. We stopped being convinced of what God's Bible says, and we start convincing ourselves that we know better. And God is like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. This is not the way I set it up. And I don't know about you guys, but when God tells me to continue in something, I think he's pretty serious. I don't think God wants us to start something and then stop. You know, we're talking about change, and we're talking about changing to become more like Jesus. As a church, we're talking about changing our culture. And it's easy to start changing it, right? It's easy to say, okay, yeah, I'm going to start giving. I'm going to start coming. I'm going to start serving. I'm going to start loving. I'm going to start doing all these things. And we do it well for 3 or 6 months. And then it gets hard, right? And when it gets hard, it's easy to say, okay, this is too much. You know what? I'm going to have that quiet time tomorrow. It's easy to say, okay, you know what? I'll talk to this brother, this sister about how I'm feeling tomorrow. And tomorrow never come. And so now we're convinced that what we started isn't what we need to finish. And so the change that we're trying to make, it becomes short-lived. And God is like, no, 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 no. Continue in what you've learned. Because if you do, he's going to be right. He promised he's going to be right there with us. Each and every one. You know, I want you guys to stop for a second and just look around real quick. Just look at the church. Just look. I want you guys to take a really good look. Now, how many of you guys are here Sunday? Was anybody here Sunday? Did you notice anything different from now and Sunday? What do you guys notice? It's smaller. The room didn't get smaller. Did they shrink the room? So, I got to find out how they do that because, man, I need to, when it's time for me to clean that kitchen at the house, I need to find out how to shrink that. But the room didn't get smaller. What happened? What happened? How is it that in the course of 3 days, we can go from 300 to 75? How does that happen? Right? Now, granted, people could be sick. People could be working. All those things are factors. And the reason why I wanted us all to come in is because I don't want us to deceive ourselves. I want us to see, wow, okay, this is how easy it is to take our eyes off the prize and see it's not really what I thought it was, right? Because the Bible says, but as for you, remember Steve's lesson last week? It says change starts with you, right? It starts with me. So if it starts with me, he's talking to me. He's talking to you. As for you, continue in this, right? Don't stop. I know it's hard. I know it's been a long week. I know it's crazy in the political world, right? I know everybody's Facebook timelines are being flooded with all kind of craziness. All this stuff is happening, but the Bible is clear. Continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. Now, here's a question we all have to look in the mirror and ask ourselves. What am I convinced of? Am I really convinced that Jesus is Lord? Or have I replaced him with something else? What am I convinced of? Not what the church is convinced of. Not what the church teaches and preaches. What am I convinced of? Because what I'm convinced of is what I'm going to live out. He ends it here. He says in verse 15, and you remember that ever since you were a child. See, we read this passage and we think, oh, yeah, he's, you know, Paul's talking to Timothy here from when Timothy was a little child. But there's another concept here that we can gather from this scripture. From a child, from an infant, spiritually. Remember this. Remember the people who taught you God's word. And remember how you became convinced that, wow, I do need to be doing this, or I shouldn't be doing that. Remember how we became convinced of it, and we either stopped doing the things that we knew we shouldn't be doing, and we started doing the things that we should be doing? Guys, this is why we need God's word as well as each other to continue that change, because somewhere along the line, it's easy to forget that. It's easy to forget what we become convinced of. And then we start doing other things. Lastly, there's one more thing that we need to get. We need to get going. Right? Because once we get convinced, we can't just get convinced that, man, this is it, and do nothing with it. We need to get going. What does that mean? That doesn't mean, oh, we run out in the street, we street preach. Well, hey, man, if that's what you want to do, have at it. But what does the Bible say we should be doing? Right? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it says, go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you always to the end of the age. Now, we've heard this scripture umpteen times, right? We use it all the time when we study the Bible with people. We know this scripture by heart. We didn't have to put this up. I could have just said Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and everybody in here would have been quoting it. Oh, yeah, go and make this. You know, it's easy, right? It's easy. It's kind of like the lady at the gym. She's putting in that work. Oh, I got this. I know this. But why do we do this? Why do we read this scripture? Is it because we want to be changed? Is it because we want to spend eternity with Jesus? Let's talk about this for a second. Go then to all people. That can be challenging, right? And I'll be honest, I've made almost every excuse in the book you can think of as to why I shouldn't go then to all nations. Well, I don't really want to go over here and talk to these white people because they already have their view of me, right? Now, I done already labeled them because I'm thinking that they're labeling me. I'm not going to go to these Asians because they probably won't even understand what I'm saying. Now, I done labeled them because I'm thinking they're labeling me. I'm not going to go to these professionally looking people because they're going to look down on me. I've labeled yet another group because I'm thinking they're labeling me. I'm making excuses to not do what I should be doing, but I'm shifting the blame to someone else. Right? And now what happens? I don't go anywhere. I don't go anywhere. So I've convinced myself that I don't need to do that. I've convinced myself that it's the rest of the church's job to do that as well. I can't be the only one and go and share with them. Everybody needs to be doing it. I don't see so-and-so with nobody from a different race. I don't even see them with somebody with their race. And I can convince myself that God didn't tell me to do that. And then I start living it out in my day-to-day walk with him. Well, what about you? Because when he says, go then to all peoples, he wasn't just talking to Tony, right? Anybody that opened a Bible, that's a Christian, that's who he's talking to. And so God is calling us, guys, to do some things. God is calling us to change and to get out of our comfort zone, right? And so in order for us to get out of our comfort zone and to stay out of it, we have to keep doing this, right? You can't do it one time and stop and say, oh, I'm good now. I've met my quota. God didn't say I had to keep doing it. He just said I need to do this, right? But in order to not go back to my comfort zone, I need to continue. The same thing the last scripture said. I need to continue to do these things so that I will not convince myself again that I don't need to do it. He says, to all peoples everywhere, and make them my disciples. God is giving us a great responsibility. We may be the only opportunity that people get to hear God's word. The only opportunity. And so he says, go and help make them my disciple. In other words, they can't do this on their own. They need some help, and God is trying to provide it. And we're that vessel, right? But if we convince ourselves that we're not a vessel, guess what happens? We're not a vessel. And God has to find someone else to do it. But he says, go and make them my disciple. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, this is the cool part, guys. See, here's the deal. I can't give somebody something I don't have. if I'm not convinced of the stuff I've read in his Bible, I am surely not going to go and convince somebody else. And so what happens? Since I'm not convinced, I'm not even going to go. Why should I go if I'm not even convinced? Right? Now, I like to think I'm pretty persuasive with some people, maybe with my kids, right? And so, yeah, sometime with my kids. But it doesn't take much to persuade children that, hey, it's time to go to bed. It's 9 o'clock. Doesn't take much persuading, right? Now, convincing them? That's something a little different. Well, why do I have to go to bed and not, my friends don't go till 9:30. Hey, it's not even dark outside yet. You know, hey, you know, you can have 1,001 reasons, but here's the deal. The more you keep doing it, the more we keep helping them understand 9 o'clock is the bedtime. The more you keep doing it, the more you keep doing it, they become convinced that, okay, Dad is serious about this. At 9 o'clock, it is bedtime. And I say that to say, guys, the more we stay in our Bible, the more we pray, the more we're open, we convince ourselves that, you know what, God is right. The less we do that, the easier it is to convince ourselves that there's an easier way. And I don't know about you, I like easy ways. I'm not trying to wake up in the morning and figure out what's the hardest thing I can do today and then go and do it, right? I'm trying to wake up and, man, I hope Jaleesha cooked breakfast this morning. And, oh, man, it'd be nice if that shower was running in there, my clothes were ironed. I wish somebody would come get my keys and go start warming my car up for me. Matter of fact, you know what? I need that Bible app so I could just listen to the word because I don't want to really write down anything. And I want it as easy as it can get. And it's easy to bring that mentality into the church, but more importantly, into my relationship with God. And so I just want to encourage us tonight that, man, as we are changing, as we are growing in our walk with God, and some may be further along, and that's okay. That's why we encourage one another relationships, right? If you aren't in a one another relationship, I beseech you to really find somebody that you can get with. Not just so someone can lord it over you or anything like that. It's to help each other get to heaven. Right? Now, I don't know about you. I don't know when God's coming back. And I'm not sure if any of you guys know when God's coming back. So, if it's going to be 20, 30, 40 years, I'm going to need some help. If it's going to be 20, 30, 40 seconds, I'm going to need some help. Because left alone, I will find a way to mess up. And I need my brothers and I need my sisters to say, hey, Tony, no, this is what the Bible says about that. Brother, you are in error. Or, hey, Tony, bro, I just wanted to call you and tell you I love you, man. Because we need both. Right? God wants us to have both. And, you know, I just want to encourage the church, you know, and this is to my shame as well, is that, you know what, how many of our Hispanic and Latino brothers and sisters have I reached out to? Have I really changed? Or is it just talk when someone is preaching about it? How many of my married brothers and sisters have I gone to serve? How many are on my heart for me to go serve? How many of the singles have I encouraged, hey, let's get together, let's do a double date, or let's do something together? How many of the campus have I said, hey, why don't you come into my home? Let me feed you. Let's just talk and build a relationship. You know, damn joke is always eating. But I say that because, guys, this is a part of change, right? You know, we aren't playing church. This is who we are. And God calls us to be that way. And so God is asking us to do some things. God is saying he wants us to go and teach. And if we're going to do that, guys, it has to start with us first getting into our word. That's the first thing that has to happen, right? Because we can't teach something that we don't know. So we have to get in God's word so that we know what God wants us to teach. And then we have to help them to become Christians. And then we have to continue to teach them. So for all of us that's in here, it doesn't stop. We have to continue this. And that's what change is about. If we want it to be fulfilling and to be sustaining, guys, we have to continue this. So I want to thank you guys for tonight, for allowing me to share some things that was on my heart. I pray that we take it to heart, because I think that if we want our change to continue to keep growing, we definitely need to be taught. We definitely need to be convinced. And we definitely need to be going the way God calls us to. To God be the glory.